There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
You know that, and you may have heard the headline there at the top of the hour news as Charlie Daniels has passed away at age 83. That's how we get this hour started, Midday Mobile at FM Talk 106.5. Yeah, so it reported as of this morning. He died this morning after suffering a hemorrhagic stroke at age 83. This was confirmed by the publicist Don Murray Grubbs. Charlie Daniels survived by his wife Hazel and his son Charlie Daniels Jr. I'm kind of running through this here, and I know a lot of people have been sending messages in on this. So think about that. Think about the history of his career. Think about if you go kind of range through all the decades here in country music that Charlie Daniels went through. You think about from where he started to where they were still touring as of, I would say, Dalton, you think it's late 2000s? I mean, late 2013, 2014, 2015 in there.
Yeah, no doubt. I went and saw the CDB. I can't remember. I'm so bad with dates. But it was within the last 5-6 years went and saw him in Biloxi.
Because he had a stroke back in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, like, came back. And
right. And they were still playing. Now, he didn't have all the health that Charlie Daniels had, you know, of course,
decades ago. He's 80-something years old.
Yeah, who does? But yeah, I saw him in Biloxi just a few years ago and still put on a heck of a show. And of course, so many people follow Charlie Daniels on Twitter, where he was constantly tweeting his political views and the views that a lot of people agree with there with Charlie Daniels. And even up until yesterday, he was tweeting some pictures of, he said, Magnolia Time in Dixie, Heavenly Scent of the Southland, and hydrangeas he was posting pictures of, but also remember 9/11, Benghazi isn't going away. So Charlie Daniels had just a massive, massive fan base, and so many people that grew up listening to his music, you know, they resembled his music in so many different cases.
And yeah, but, you know, his politics are interesting, and I think this is true. And this is, and somebody who's probably maybe a better student of Charlie Daniels could disagree, but just from where I sit on the outside of this, if you go back to Uneasy Rider
mm-hmm.
and go through the later work, you could see him politically change, like I think a lot of people did. People,
yeah,
as they get older, people in this country change. But, I mean, you can go back and see some very different politics from Charlie Daniels back then. So, you know, I mean, I wonder if people grew with him and they changed, or he found a new audience. I'm not sure. I mean, I like all the stuff I heard from back then to
yeah.
now. I don't wear my politics on my music on my album sleeve.
No, I don't either. And of course, his Sweet Home Alabama was Devil Went Down to Georgia, which I'm sure is playing in millions of mm-hmm. cars as we speak.
That's
but,
right.
I mean, he had so many great songs. Of course, he was inducted into nearly every musical hall of fame you can, Grand Ole Opry, the Country Music Hall of Fame. I mean, go down the list, but I'm sure everyone out there that liked his music can point to one song that they loved. For me, it was Long-Haired Country Boy. I fell in love with that song when I heard it, sing it all the
yeah,
time.
Top three for me, too.
But he's just, you know, you talk about someone who put out hit after hit after hit. He had so many huge hits. And Ben, our buddy Ben, is here today getting ready to celebrate his birthday tomorrow. So we had kind of a co-birthday party. But he was talking about a friend who said he first saw Charlie Daniels here in Mobile. I don't know if it was Bayfest or where, but Steppenwolf opened for Charlie Daniels. Now, how many fiddlers would have Steppenwolf open for them?
Not many. But Charlie Daniels would, yeah. Especially down here.
Yeah, and
he played, but I mean, you have the list of all the people he played with. Was insane.
Yeah, it was absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, I feel relatively close to Charlie Daniels where I grew up in Tennessee, born in Nashville, and I guess my formative years, I don't know exactly what formative years are, but I grew up in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, which is where Charlie Daniels called home. I actually played youth football when I started playing at 4 years old, football and baseball at Charlie Daniels Park. In Mount Juliet, Tennessee. He was one of the first acts that I saw in concert, and then one of the most recent acts I've seen, too, even though it's been 5 or 6 years, I saw him down in Biloxi.
That's wild. Oh, yeah, he played, I mean, I was looking at things like Flatt and Scruggs and Leonard Cohen and Bob Dylan and Ringo Starr. I mean, yeah, played with Billy Joel, Little Richard, B.B. King, mm-hmm. Stevie Ray Vaughan, I mean, and I know a whole bunch about Bill Monroe, Willie Nelson, James Brown, Don Henley. Amy Grant, which I can't fault. Yeah, won't hold that against him now. But, I mean, just what a career. What a career. And, yeah, dead at age 83, Charlie Daniels. And it's, I'm sure we'll find out more here of the backstory, the behind the music. I'm sure there's a new, I'm sure they're working on a new behind the music, Charlie Daniels, and Charlie Daniels Band.
Yeah.
Something to come out soon.
Oh, man, I bet he has. I bet there were some interesting stories around the Charlie Daniels Band. And, you know, recently I've been thinking about Charlie Daniels a lot. Maybe not this year with so much going on, but the last couple years with the big push for CBD in Alabama. And it seems
you know,
like
I've been cracking up.
Everyone was calling it CDB. And so that would, of course, bring the Charlie Daniels Band to mind often. But Charlie Daniels loved watching him perform, loved his music, and he was a heck of a follower on Twitter because he didn't really, you know, he didn't hide his views. You felt like you were getting the Charlie Daniels whenever you followed him on social media. And, you know, he did so many great things for our veterans. He was always willing to do charity work for veterans and police officers. One of the last tweets that he sent was, "Pray for the Blue." So Charlie Daniels, a true American through and through.
And a lot of people saying he opened for Alabama at the Wharf 2 years ago. So he would have been 81. But I hope to be able to be here, let alone put my pants on at 81, let alone play a show there. So pretty amazing. So, that's the news as we look at the music world. We'll talk more about that going forward. Also coming up this hour, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. A couple stories came out. Like a New York Times did a Tupperville story, and Montgomery Advertiser and a few others did another Tupperville story. I got to tell you, these are stories that have been out. There's some new info and maybe a different take on the story, but this goes back to the hedge fund stuff. But it's worth talking about because it's going to be what's used as one of the questions about Tommy Tupperville that I'm sure, you know, it was out there because they said the Byrne campaign had it and didn't use it. That's what I heard as a rumor. Then the Sessions campaign using this. It's basically questions about Tommy Tupperville. And then what'll be said is, oh, well, be careful, because if the Republicans have this, what does Doug Jones have waiting if Tommy Tupperville is the nominee? It's we'll talk about that coming up in just a few minutes right here on Midday Mobile. All right. And by the way, yeah, thank you to our birthday boy, Ben, who brought us many snacks to enjoy on this birthday. We appreciate that. All right, coming right back. We'll do news next. How about that?
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, and you're gonna regret, because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul."
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
We'll be right back. 120 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile Monday style. Don't help me. Don't let me forget. I got a story for those that were talking about the Fauci vaccine for coronavirus. Who they share company with? Story that came out over the weekend. I just want to kind of let y'all know who you share company with. But those that are worried about this, the vaccine. All right, to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106. And Brian in Citronelle. What's up, Brian? Hey, Brian. Uh-oh. Brian, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, you're on.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Hey, no problem.
Doing all right?
I'm doing good. Are you on 45 up there where I'll lose signal?
I am headed up 45 as we speak.
Okay, so here's what's going to happen, y'all. We're going to hear Brian when he's at the top of the hill, and then when he goes down in the bottom, we'll have to wait for about 15 to 30 seconds, and then he'll come back up as he comes up the next ridge.
That's exactly what happened.
All right, so lay it on us.
Did you have a good 4th?
Huh?
Did you have a good 4th of July?
I had the best 4th of July, as well as I could. How about you?
Well, it's always good, man. I try to enjoy life as much as possible.
Yep.
I'm recovering from surgery. But, look, you know, I gave Jeff a hard time on air because, yeah, I was upset with him. But I've been going back and forth on this, back and forth. And I think I'm really unsure about who Coverville is going to be beholden to. And I'm unsure of who's back in his campaign. And I know Jeff's done a lot of good for Alabama for a long time. And I'm voting for Jeff. And I just wanted to go on air. And because I give him a hard time on air, I wanted to tell everybody on air that I'm voting for Jeff.
That's good. I mean, so you've gone through this where I remember the calls over the last couple months, and you've been back and forth. That's a fair assessment. You actually didn't just make up your mind right away. You've kind of gone back and forth on this. I think, Brian, I think you represent a lot of us.
I'm not wrestled with it, Sean. I've wrestled with it. I've prayed about it. And that is my decision.
There we go. So you'll be heading out. Will you be any worry about going to the polls? You going to worry about the...
Not at all. Man, I don't care if I got a dress and a hazmat suit. I'm going to vote.
Well said. That's American spirit, y'all. That's what it's about. Brian, appreciate the call. Thank you, man. You know, it's funny, when I start hearing, and I understand there's a million specific cases and different reasons. I do get that. But the overall, where people are saying, well, I don't want to risk everything going in to vote. But then that son of a gun's, you know, over at the big box store, you know, buying stuff, hanging, not even restaurants, just buying, you know, whatever. So I'll tell you, know, if you can somehow risk going in to buy a new DVD copy of Jumanji 2 or whatever it is, then you know what? Tough it out and go vote. Okay? Help me out here. Tough it out and go vote. All right. I do want to hit this quickly. I don't hear this story being talked about many places, but so the question about the coronavirus vaccine, and do I claim to be some expert on coronavirus vaccines? No, I'm not. I'm the opposite of that. But I know a lot of y'all that happen to look at a Facebook page or two are not experts yourself either, and often will go, hey, man, this plan here is Bill Gates having this vaccine, and it's going to be killing all these people or making them into automatons or whatever. I won't take the Bill Gates vaccine. Listen, I don't know if it's good or bad, but I do know this, that over the weekend, I guess in time to celebrate Independence Day in our nation, Louis Farrakhan said, okay, here it is. Here's the actual quote, because this is from the Daily Caller, says, quote, he accused Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci of, quote, trying to depopulate the earth, end quote, through the development of vaccines aimed at ending the coronavirus pandemic. Speaking at the Nation of Islam headquarters in Chicago, I wonder how safe it is there. I wonder how much shooting goes on there around, because Nation of Islam's well armed if they fire back there in Chicago. It says, speaking at Nation of Islam headquarters in Chicago, Farrakhan urged African leaders and his followers to avoid accepting vaccine medications developed by Western scientists. Quote here, he said, I say to my brothers and sisters in Africa, if they come up with a vaccine, be careful. Don't let them vaccinate you with their history of treachery through vaccines, through medication. This is Louis Farrakhan's message on Independence Day. He said, do not take their medication, end quote. So Farrakhan proposed convening a team of virologists and epidemiologists to inspect whatever vaccines are developed to deal with the coronavirus. That's normal. That sentence right there, that's good. That's normal. But telling huge swaths of people not to take it, I don't know how many people follow the, you know, the commands of Farrakhan, but he said, he goes on, he said he pushed a popular but unfounded conspiracy theory that Fauci and Gates are working on the vaccine for purposes of population control. This is what gets sent to me on the text line and social media a couple times a week. So remember, you're in the same group as Louis Farrakhan. Louis Farrakhan and you on the same page. Says, quote here, they're making money now plotting to give 7,500,000,000 people a vaccination. Okay, let's go back. They're making money now plotting to give 7,500,000,000 people a vaccination. So 7.5, I guess. He goes on to say in the tweet, Dr. Fauci, Bill Gates, and Melinda, you want to depopulate the earth. What the hell gave you that right? Who are you to sit down with your billion to talk about who can live and who should die? End quote. And he goes on to wrap it up here, said, that's why your world is coming to an end quickly, because you have sentenced billions to death, but God is now sentencing you to death, that you are sentencing to others. So, there you go. If you're all down with it being a big Fauci, Bill Gates plot, you and Farrakhan are on the same page. Just duly noted. All right, let's see. Oh, yeah, the story. Okay, let me go to the AL.com version. The story's popping up a couple different places now. As President Trump has asked if NASCAR's Bubba Wallace has apologized over news claims, Lita Gore's story on AL.com says President Trump is criticizing NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace over claims a noose was left in his garage at Talladega Super Speedway in Alabama. We know that part. This morning, a tweet from the president asked if, it says this, has Bubba Wallace apologized to all those great NASCAR drivers and officials who came to his aid, stood by his side, and were willing to sacrifice everything for him, only to find out that the whole thing was a hoax, that and flag decision has caused lowest ratings ever. All right, so there's a... Aren't the ratings kind of been pretty tough for NASCAR as it is? I don't think it helps things. Trump's comments are in regard to the June incident. Okay, they're going to rehash that whole thing. So later investigation by federal authorities found the rope was... Okay, so Lita is rehashing the whole story that we know. But yeah, so the president has asked if he would apologize for what the president... President said the folks apologized to the folks with NASCAR that stood with him. If he didn't apologize, what's wrong with Bubba Wallace thanking them? Has he thanked them? I think that's a good thing. Bubba Wallace thanks them. So that's awesome. To me, that should bring more solidarity to, you know, Bubba Wallace and other drivers. Be like, man, this thing turned out not to be true. But look at this. Look at all those people that you want to stereotype that are NASCAR fans. And, they all stood with you, Bubba Wallace. I think that's pretty good stuff. All right. All right. I'm sorry. We're getting text questions I don't have answers to. With that, we'll go on to the news and then come back with our talk with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Quick reminder, once again, the fishing photo contest, which is... Well, it's going swimmingly. It's going swimmingly over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. If you go over there, it's people saying, well, what's the trick? There's no trick. You put your fishing picture, you or family member or whatever, you put that up on the Facebook page, and then you get people to like it. So you'll go and you'll see the post that says FM Talk 106.5 fishing photo. When you see that, you know you're in the right place. That post is pinned to the top, actually. And you'll get that, and you will go on there. You will post the picture. Then you'll recruit your friends and kinfolk to go give it a like. And then on Thursday, we do this Thursday to Thursday weeks, we'll look who has the most likes, and that person will get an FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Team Dry Fit shirt. All you got to do is pop that fishing picture up over at facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. All right, Todd Stacy next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good to talk to my buddy Todd Stacy, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. 6 days a week, that email in your inbox there. Keeping you in the loop, everything you need to know. But let Todd tell you about it. Todd, what do we find in your emails? What's in there?
Yeah, well, look, it's always a rundown of, first of all, the top five stories from politics, whether that's here in the state, sometimes nationally, top five things that are going on. We also have headlines from around the state, every news outlet that we can fit in there, and also the front pages. I'm an old newspaper guy, so I like to see what's on the front page all around the state. So all that is packaged in one email, easy to read, easy to digest. That's the whole point. And you can get it for free. Just sign up at aldailynews.com, click subscribe at the top, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
So much to talk about just from today's email, let alone over the last few days. But let's go straight to the Tuberville story. Now, I have been talking about this on the show off and on. I've had a discussion about it with Jeff Sessions as well. To me, it's not as explosive of a story as a sex scandal, right? It's not a, you know, people have talked about this, it's like a Roy Moore situation. I don't think it is. I think it's a little more detailed. So what's the allegation here? What about the hedge fund, the money, what Tuberville knew? I mean, what is being alleged here as of this morning?
Well, so after Tuberville left Auburn, he didn't get back into coaching for a few years, and so he got into some financial deals, you know, trying to make some money here and there. I think he was on ESPN at the time, and he got involved with a hedge fund with this guy named John David Stroud. Now, this guy came from Lehman Brothers. He's a Wall Street guy, and they started this hedge fund and recruited a bunch of investors, and then when Tuberville went back to coaching at Texas Tech, this John David Stroud was, you know, supposed to be managing this money, and it all just fell apart. This Stroud guy was apparently, he just let it fall apart. The thing ended in disaster, really, and he actually committed fraud. He went to jail. He was indicted on 21 counts of fraud, ended up pleading guilty to a felony fraud charge, and went to jail for, I think, 10 years. So, obviously, it all crumbled. This was all very well reported by ESPN and a lot of other outlets at the time. But Tuberville wasn't involved in the criminal part, right? I mean, by fraud, it meant they got a bunch of people to invest their money, told them it was still there, told them it was not, it was going to be there in the end. That's a lie. That's fraud. And in the end, a bunch of people lost their money.
Well, Tuberville
was not. Go ahead.
Well, just seeing. So you're talking about the fraud here. I mean, is this an allegation of like a Ponzi scheme? Is this a Madoff thing where there's not actually, you know, it's a three-card money, like, okay, well, you asked for your money today, Todd, so I go take some money in from a new client and give it to you. Is it like that?
It kind of sounds a lot like that. And remember, we've had this since, I guess, almost late last year, that we had the court documents and we're looking into it. You know, when we've talked about it, it never really seemed nefarious to me on the Tuberville side. But, yeah, it sounds like a Ponzi scheme in terms of this Stroud guy. He apparently had several of these funds, right? He had gone and set up several of these hedge funds, and he's the big shot from Wall Street. So it certainly seems like he was playing fast and loose. Obviously, he got convicted of fraud. And it's important to note that Tuberville was never implicated in the criminal part of that, right? He was never implicated as having done something criminal in this, but he was sued. These investors who had gone along with this, partly because Tuberville, they knew Tuberville from Auburn, they sued him. And I think he settled out of court for an estimated $2 million settlement. But So it's not necessarily nefarious. It's not necessarily, you know, proof of Tuberville's wrongdoing or anything like that. But it is embarrassing for Tuberville. And, Sean, I think probably the biggest takeaway is that it shows how much we may not know, really, about Tuberville's background and how much could come out if he is the Republican nominee after next Tuesday.
Okay. Well, with that being said, is that, and I'm not asking this rhetorically, this is real, is that something that changes people's votes? Yes, there could be some other thing out there, but this one, let's talk about this one alone. I mean, Tuberville's claim that he was a victim too, he was defrauded as well, but then you can turn around and say, well, why cough up $2 million? And they say, go to where, you know, a turnip that has the blood in it, all that. But is that enough that changes people's mind? It seems like over time, the more complex or I could even say white collar the allegations are, the less it seems to get traction in an election, even in general.
Yeah, and if you look at this story, I mean, I encourage you to go read it. It's in the New York Times. I guess it printed yesterday, but it's still there online. And, I mean, just reading through the story, I don't think you get the sense that, oh, man, this Tuberville was a crook, and he really, you know, got over on a lot of people. It never read that way to me. From reading the court documents, it never seemed that way to me. So, no, I don't think in and of itself it changes anybody's mind. I mean, maybe some people, but I think, and a lot of this depends on how Sessions plays it. I think a wise way to play it, if I'm Jeff Sessions and his team, is not the story itself, but, you know, kind of begging the question on what other stories are out here. We all remember what happened with Roy Moore. You know, we nominated him. He's going as the GOP nominee. Nobody thinks that's going to be a problem. And then, bam, you know, all these stories start coming out, and his candidacy implodes. If they were smart, the Jeff Sessions folks would kind of harken back to that and say, look, we don't want to have another Roy Moore situation. This story shows that, hey, there could be a lot of stuff out there. And, Sean, I'll tell you, I had one guy, after reading the Daily News today, text me today, he's involved in Democratic politics, say, look, there's a lot more where this is, and you wait until Doug Jones brings it up. So,
now that's the interesting part. Yeah, that's the interesting. There you go, right? Because that's the part that this is. You know, people have said, "Well, this is the tip of the iceberg." We have the other story about when Tuberville was a coach and not putting down. You have this player accused of rape. Actually, I guess convicted, and he has gives him up. He misses one game or something like that. Was the punishment on that?
Yeah, Clifton Robinson. Yeah, that was a bad look. I think probably every coach has a decision or two they would like to take back, but not every coach is involved in politics. And so once you put your name on a ballot, all that stuff becomes fair game. So it's going to be interesting to see how Sessions plays this. I've actually got a meeting here in a couple minutes, and I'm going to ask him that. Like, what does this story mean for you? And I've not talked to them lately, but, you know, just being an old political guy myself, if I'm them, I don't use it for the single day story that it is. I use it to tell a broader story of what else do we not know? What else is going to come out? And do we want that to come out after the fact when we have no choice but to stick with our nominee, with Roy Moore?
So, okay, your tact here is not really discussing the... Well, your discussion in the primary is who can win in the general, right? It's the, well, we got these two candidates, they're close, but here's the reason why it might be dangerous to have Tuberville running against Doug Jones. Is that kind of...
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, so much in politics, so much in these campaigns is based on emotion and based on, you know, people's just visceral reactions to various things that happen in the press. But sometimes an effective campaign can appeal to people's logic. It's an uphill climb. It's not easy to do, but this would be appealing to logic to say, hey, we know what happened in 2017. We understand what the Democrats are going to do this time, no matter who's the nominee. I'm the better choice because you knew everything about me, and I'm a guaranteed win against Doug Jones. Whereas if things start coming out of the woodwork on Tuberville, that could go south. So again, it's a tough sell, but it could be effective if they do it right. But look, I got a short runway here, right? I mean, the election's next Tuesday.
That's for sure. All right. Speaking of which, we'll talk more about that when we come back. More with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5. And check us out online, fmtalk1065.com. Online opinion poll question, brand new one there. We'll talk about it with you. We'll be scoring this for the next week or so. I don't think we're going to take this one down. We'll get Todd Stacey's commentary on that opinion poll question right now as we continue our conversation with him. All right, Todd, let's talk about this turnout. I'm asking how many folks feel like they're going to be at the polls a week from tomorrow. Maybe I'm just being a party pooper, but I'll be surprised. I don't think we make double digits. I'd be surprised if we get over 8%.
I agree with that, and I think most folks are, you know, hoping that they get above 5%, actually. I think a lot of it depends on how many people have actually filled out absentee ballots and mailed them in. I've heard from tons of folks, my parents included, who they don't ever do that, but they want to be able to vote. They don't want to go to the polls, so, you know, let's vote absentee. But there's not really a way to quantify that. We're trying to get some updated numbers from John Merrill's office. That's everything. Now, obviously, down in Mobile and maybe in the second district in the southeast part of the state, I think it's going to be higher with those congressional runoffs. But, I mean, if you're in North Alabama, if it's just Tuberville and Sessions on the ballot, it may not be the most reason you've ever had to get out to the polls and vote, especially in the middle of a pandemic.
Okay, so you've done this on multiple campaigns. So look at it. What would you strategize? What would you take from this? I'm not talking about there's a lot of polling out there, but if you're doing internals, and you just said, so AL1 should be a bigger turnout, so that's got to benefit Sessions. What about AL2? Because y'all, what Todd's saying is they're coming out for a AL2 Republican primary runoff vote like we're doing here in AL1. The Wiregrass, Montgomery, is that more Sessions country or more Tuberville country?
It's pretty split, but in the last poll that's been publicly available, Tuberville was winning, not by much. It's, you know, he really does well in North Alabama. He did well in the collar counties surrounding Birmingham. But Montgomery South, Sessions tends to do a lot better. So I would say they're about even in Wiregrass up to Montgomery. And again, that should be a little bit stronger turnout there than in other parts of the state. But, I mean, you know, the trouble with this, if I'm working a campaign, I would be probably really frustrated because it's incredibly hard to determine what is a likely voter. And that is the base question on which all of the rest of the poll depends. And if you can't ascertain, you know, are you likely to go vote on July 14th? Well, then makes the rest of the poll really hard to determine. So, I've heard some of that frustration from these campaigns. A lot of them have been telling me that it's just no use. It's no use to do polling internally anymore. I mean, spend 10, 20 grand doing that. And what do you really have to show for it? I think everybody agrees because we've got enough polling that you can, you know, put an average out there. That Tuberville's winning. Tuberville is up. I think the Sessions people would acknowledge that. But it all comes down to turnout. And if I was a campaign right now this week, I would be dedicating every resource I had beyond the TV stuff. That stuff happens by itself, right? That's planned way in advance. But you get as many interns, you get as many volunteers as you possibly can. You get them on the phones, you get them out knocking the doors. But specifically, you got to target folks. You got to target voters that you know are in your universe, that you know are in your corner. And the campaign that does that effectively could see a bump on Election Day.
And just that reminder that morning. So we really need y'all to go. You really need to go vote.
Yeah, and look, everybody who's ever done campaigns and made those phone calls know you're bothering the heck out of these voters, and everybody's gotten the phone calls like, quit calling me. I'm not, how many times have you said, I'm not going to vote unless you quit calling me or something like that. But the truth is, it actually works. It really does work. I've been trying to get these campaigns to tell me about, absentee programs they've got going on. They've been really coy about telling me, but I'm a big fan of that. Look, we had this 4-month stretch, or I guess 3-month stretch, delaying the election. I mean, that's an excellent opportunity to run an absentee program, to find folks and say, hey, we'll mail you an absentee ballot, or here's how to do it. And once that person has completed it and mailed in their ballot, man, you're starting to bank votes.
That's right.
That can really be effective. And I know it's been going on, but the campaigns have been a little bit coy about detailing exactly what they've been doing.
All right, Todd, just a couple minutes left here, and I know we'll have to get into this in depth going forward, but what are you hearing out of Montgomery? Any special session talk, anything? Is it August, September, or is it nothing? What do you hear?
I still think it's 50-50, only because we don't know what might happen in the second half of the year. But if it was right now, if the decision had to be made right now whether or not to have a special session, I don't think they would do it. I don't think the governor really wants to. I don't think the legislature, most of them, want to either. And I think the thinking is most big issues, especially these economic development laws that have to be renewed, can wait until February, right? If the state goes 2 months without the Alabama Jobs Act, it's not the end of the world. So at least that's what they're saying. That could change. A lot could change. I mean, the prison situation, we could get some kind of ruling from a judge or Justice Department. So a lot can change. But I think if it was right now, I'd say probably not.
All right, there he is, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Remind folks they want to get that email. How do they do it?
It's really easy. You said the website, aldailynews.com. Just click subscribe at the top of the page. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. We'll be glad to have you as a subscriber.
Good deal. Todd, we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right. And we're on the way out of here. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. See you manana for Mobile Mornings.